Well, we're almost finished with the Doctrine of Man. So we only have a small section left this evening. So on page 18 in the notes, and that is the area of the total depravity. As I mentioned to you last week already, the total depravity, the T, as the first letter there, is the first letter of the word tulip. And that, of course, is a summary of the so-called 5 points of Calvinism. Probably an oversimplification to try to summarize Calvinism in 5 points. But these 5 points are the 5 points on which we find that the established church differed from the teachings of Jacob Arminius, or sometimes also referred to as the Remonstrants, as they were known at that time back in the very early 17th century. So in 1619, 1619, the Synod of Dort was held, town of Dort in the Netherlands, and at the Synod of Dort they stated these 5 points and say these are the 5 areas on which we differ with the teachings of Arminius. And the church as a whole said these are the points that we accept: total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible or infallible grace, and perseverance or the preservation of the saints. And these others we will look at as we go on with the doctrines of salvation in particular. But the first one of these is total depravity. And it is well for us as we look at this subject to consider, you know, what do we mean by depravity? Because basically depravity refers to sinfulness. So by depravity we mean then man's lack or want of original righteousness and of holy affections towards God. See, remember when God created man, you know by now, he created man in the image and likeness of God, with knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. So these three, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. So remember, as we talked about this, the knowledge was affected by sin, but man still had a knowledge. But the righteousness was lost, and the holiness was lost. So two of the three, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, were lost. Now they can be restored through Jesus Christ, we know that also. But we see that they were lost. So by depravity then, we mean man's lack of original righteousness. So we have no original righteousness. We have sin as we are born with a sinful nature. So by depravity then, we mean man's want or lack of original righteousness and of holy affections towards God, because there is none that seeketh after God. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, as we read in 1 Corinthians. But that's what we see there. You know, man naturally does not seek after God, Romans chapter 3. And then also in the vault here is that the corruption of man's moral nature and his bias toward evil. The corruption of man's moral nature, and that is very obvious when you look around you and you see the sinfulness and the wickedness of man and his, you know, his bias towards evil. That's what man naturally does. So that's why we say its existence, the existence of depravity, is witnessed to both by Scripture and also by human experience. By just observing, we see that. And so the teaching of Scripture that all men must be born again, remember that's what Jesus said in John chapter 3, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the scriptural teaching that man must be born again also shows the universality of its existence. So it's not a question that depravity only applies to white people and not to black people, or it applies to black people but not to white people. You know, you can't say that. It applies to all people without exception. So depravity. Now, we believe in total depravity. And it's very interesting because I read from time to time sermons and articles, and at times even the people will deny the doctrine of total depravity. And that always amazes me when they do that. Because if you deny total depravity, you say that man has good in him. That's basically what you're saying. So I can never fully understand it. But I think it's a question where very often they don't understand the meaning of the terminology. I see that especially when we come to limited atonement, which we will study under the doctrine of salvation. That'll be sometime next year. But, you know, the question of what do you mean by the terms? And if you don't define them properly, yes, then you're going to have problems. So total depravity then also needs to be defined properly so we know what it really means. So that's why we say negatively, total depravity does not mean that every sinner is devoid of all qualities pleasing to men. We know that that is not true. You know, we're all sinners. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's no question there. That the Bible is very clear. But that doesn't mean that people don't have any qualities that are pleasing to men. You know, you have people that are philanthropists, that do a lot of good work. You know, you see that constantly. You know, if you go to any major shopping center, they're always, almost every week, they're collecting money for some kind of a, you know, good deed or some kind of an organization. Could be heart, could be, you know, could be cancer society, could be retinosa, pigmentosa, whatever, you know, the eye problems. You know, they're always collecting for something. You know, World Vision is very active at this time of the year. You know, help to support these poor children. Well, if they ask me, I say, you know what? I'm going to help them in person because I'm going to Myanmar next month. You know, so, oh, really? You know, and then they're always surprised. You know, I said, you mean you actually go there? I say, yeah, we go there. We work with orphans and we help them. You know, so this is something that most of these people are collecting money. You know, they don't know about that and they don't do that. Incidentally, the collectors probably get most of the money, a very small percentage of actually goes to help. World Vision has, by the way, changed a great deal. You know, their organization has been around for many, many years. And when it first started, you know, it was a Christian organization, but you don't hear anything about the fact that they're Christian today. But like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I first learned about World Vision, it was still a Christian organization. Today they don't say a word about it. But you see people giving money. You know, oh yes, here's me. Let me give. Let me help. Well, I'd rather give my money to the Lord's work. So I usually don't give very much to any of those organizations. But all right. So that's why I say negatively consider. As we talk about depravity, in particular the extent of depravity, because people will say, oh yes, man is depraved, but if you say totally depraved, no, we don't believe that. Because we don't believe that every man is, you know, as bad as he could be. And that, of course, we agree with. So that's why I say it does not mean that every sinner doesn't have any good qualities in him, because they do. They may be kind, they may be helpful, you know. It also does not mean that man commits or is even prone to commit every form of sin. Again, man does not do that. You know, if you look at sin, if you just look at the Ten Commandments, now you might say, well, I've never broken this one, I've never broken that one. Well, apart from the fact that James says, if you break one, you're guilty of breaking all. You know, well, maybe you have never stolen anything, you know. It's doubtful, but, you know, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never done murdered anybody. Thou shalt not kill. You know, of course, Jesus says if you wish somebody was dead, you're just as guilty as if you actually did the murder. Well, but that's another thing. You know, we might say, well, haven't really broken all of these commandments. So we haven't committed every form of sin. So again, we acknowledge that. And for that matter, it also does not mean that every man is as bitterly opposed to God as it is possible for him to be. You know, you find some people, look, God, take it or leave it, you know, I'm not interested, but if you want to follow, that's fine. But other people are very strongly opposed to anything that has to do with God. So you see a lot of different attitudes there. And that's why we say negatively does not mean that every man is as bitterly opposed to God as it is possible for him to be. So you need to realize that. But what it does mean, positively then, it does mean that every sinner is totally destitute of that love to God, which is the fundamental requirement of the law. If you look at Deuteronomy, all right, we begin there. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And then if you go over to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 22, where we have the parallel passage or where the Lord Jesus quotes this, you know, Matthew 22:35-38, you know, when one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, saying, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. So, you know, and that is the thing. We do not love God in that way. Then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. No, we don't do that. So when we talk about total depravity, we do mean that we do not have that kind of love for God when we are born. And it also does mean that man is supremely given to a preference of himself to God. So again, what you see is a difference there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. You know, here's quite a list. Paul says here to Timothy, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, and men shall be traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So man, as he is born, is more interested in pleasing self than God. All right? Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So it does mean that when we talk about total depravity. It also means that man has an aversion to God. He is, in a sense, against God, which on occasion becomes an active enmity against God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, because the carnal mind, carnal, fleshly, unsaved mind, his enmity is opposed to God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So man is opposed to God. Alright? So that is what it does mean. Also, as we go on to page 19, that is every faculty is disordered and corrupted. And that is a very important consideration there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So every faculty is disordered and corrupted. And so this is, in a sense, how we can sometimes explain total depravity, so that man is not totally depraved in the sense that every man is the worst possible sinner that he can be. He has committed every sin under the sun. But it does mean that man is totally depraved. His whole being is affected by sin. So from the top of the head to the soles of our feet, our whole being is affected by sin. Our thinking is affected by sin. You know, our actions are affected by sin. That's why I say every faculty, if it is ordered corrupted, is affected by sin. And it does also mean then that man has no thought, feeling, or deed of which God can fully approve. So think of that as well. You know, we cannot do things of our own, think what we feel, what we do, that God can fully approve of that. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, where Paul says, for I know that in that For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So therefore also, it means that man has entered upon a line of constant progress in depravity, from which he can in no wise turn away in his own strength. All right, that's what Paul here says, you know. How to perform that which is good, I'm unable to do. I find not, I cannot do it. Not in my own strength. Because we realize, of course, that Jesus said, without me, he can do nothing. So we need God's help in order to be able to do anything that is good. So therefore we say that depravity, or the sinful condition with which we are born, infects the whole man, the whole being. It affects the intellect, our feeling, our heart, our will. All of these are affected by sin. So that's why we say we are totally depraved. Our whole being, everything, our thinking is affected by sin. You know, our intellect, the feelings we have, our hearts, you know, all this is affected by sin. So that's what we mean by total depravity. So we are totally, our whole being is depraved or affected by sin. Well, we have a concluding paragraph here. Depravity has produced a total spiritual inability in the sinner, in the sense that he cannot, by his own volition, or if you prefer, by his own will. Volition refers to the will. So man cannot, by his own will, change his character and life so as to make them conformable to the law of God. Nor is man able to change his fundamental preference of self and sin to supreme love for God. We cannot do this on our own. We cannot all of a sudden say, oh, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. No, the natural man cannot do that. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot know them because he is spiritually dead. You know, and that's what we have to realize. You know, a blind man cannot respond to a beautiful sunset. You know, we may go down to Cottesloe in the evening and you see a beautiful sunset there. Say, wow, look at that. But a blind man, he can't see it. You know? Some of us last night went to listen to a student recital, graduate recital by James Chung, you know, and a number of you were there. And, you know, if you are deaf, you can't hear it. Because a deaf man does not respond to sound. Alright? So a blind man doesn't respond to a beautiful sunset. A deaf man, no use for him to go to the symphony orchestra because he cannot enjoy it. And a dead man does not respond to any kind of stimulus. So we need to realize that. So that's the idea there. You know, depravity. Our whole being is affected by sin. So, and yet, if we think of all that, we do have a certain amount of freedom left. Because inability, or total inability, by the way, some people rather use the word total depravity, use the term total inability. But inability consists not in the loss of any faculty of the soul, nor in the loss of free agency, for the sinner still determines his own acts. He still determines, yes, I'm going to do this, no, I'm not going to do that. All right. Nor in mere disinclination to what is good, which is not that we reject everything that is good. But rather, we see a lack of spiritual discernment because he's spiritually dead. And therefore, he does not have the spiritual discernment. And that's one of the problems that you see today so often. People don't have that discernment. And as a result, because they don't have that spiritual discernment, there are no proper affections. They love the things that they should not love. You know, that's why Paul, in a sense, talks about this. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. That's the idea of depravity in man. The good that we should do, we don't do. And the evil that we should not do, that we do. So, in other words, inability belongs only to things of the Spirit. So there's a lot of other things we can still do. But the things of the Spirit we cannot do. We're totally depraved. There's a spiritual inability to do the things of the Spirit of God. Alright, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So man, since the fall, cannot change his own heart. We cannot do it. We cannot change our own heart. We cannot regenerate ourselves. We cannot repent with a godly sorrow or exercise that faith which is unto salvation. We cannot do that on our own. It is only when the grace of God works in us, when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, works in us, that we are enabled to repent and to believe unto salvation. Because we are totally depraved. There's a total inability on our part to do anything to save ourselves. We cannot do it. So it's all dependent upon God. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And that not of yourselves refers to that faith. It is a gift of God. What is the gift of God? Faith. So even the very faith that we have to believe is actually a gift from God. Alright? Well, with that we kind of conclude this section here on the doctrine of man. And we'll let them take care of that. And then we go on from here to the doctrine of Christ. Now, if any of you picked these notes up yet or not yet, maybe Ian and maybe Jacob, you can help too with that. There's a box on the table in the back that has the notes on the doctrine of Christ. So these can be distributed. Okay, these are the notes then on the doctrine of Christ. So this is our next unit. That unit will take us considerably longer than the doctrine of man. We're not actually going to start on this tonight, because I don't want to start this yet. But it gives you the notes so you can have those. We did 25 steps of it, so that should be sufficient. I think we can turn that off here.
So these notes are a little bit longer, so we don't